The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications, Eamon Ryan, is here with us. And today, Minister, you brought to Cabinet a list of 35 actions for reducing private car use in urban areas. You would have congestion charges, possibly clean air zones, road use charges, a whole range of things. Are you trying to drive the private motorist off the roads?
No. We're trying to make it work for everyone. And I don't think those charges actually will be the centre of this. I don't think they'll be the key first or immediate responses. We do need to change for three reasons right across the country. We have a climate problem. The world before us, Matt, you know, this is burning in a way that no one predicted the speed and scale of the climate change that's happening. Transport is probably one of the most challenging areas to cut our emissions. To do that, we need to do three things. We need to switch to electric and better fuels and better vehicles. And we're doing that. We need to switch to public transport and to walking and cycling, and that'll be better for us, for everyone. It'll free up the road space for everyone. But also we do need to reduce the amount of travel we do. And we can do that again in a way that benefits everyone. It's not about being against the car, but we have, as well as having a climate problem, we have a gridlock congestion problem. If we keep going on a car-dominated system, which we have been for the previous five, six decades, it won't work for anyone. So it is about designing how we, where we work, how we live, so that we can get everything we need done without having to drive so much.
Okay, but is this essentially for urban areas, for our cities like Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Galway and Waterford, essentially? Because in the rest of Ireland, people need their cars because they simply don't have sufficient numbers or time to use public transport.
Well, and absolutely, we're not saying, you know, where people have to drive, that's absolutely appropriate and right, and we have to support them by making sure we have proper road and safe road network and good vehicles. We are changing that. Like, there has been a dramatic increase in rural public transport in the Connecting Ireland bus services, and the public response has been phenomenal.
And also, surely that's marginal by comparison with the amount of journeys that have to be taken each day by people in rural Ireland.
It's doubled in numbers in the last year. It's not marginal, and we're only warming up. And it's important for rural Ireland that they also get a public transport system and also a safe route to school and the ability to walk and cycle safely on our roads. So no, it's everywhere. But also, I'd say our towns. If you look at, Matt, you think of towns that have moved in this direction where it's really good compact development, where you can, it's got a lively town centre. Those are the towns that are really working. Those are the towns that people want to live in. So yes, it's about our cities, but it's actually also about our towns and villages right across the country, because this is a switch to the better. It's not a punitive, it's not a punishment, it's not charging people off the road. It's trying to make a transport system that works for everyone.
You see, I mentioned in relation to capacity and not having perhaps enough trains and buses to carry everyone who wants to use them. But that's not the only reason why many people won't use buses or trains. It's because often it takes them far longer to get from A to B, with diversions as well, and maybe having to have long walks or changing transport, that when it comes to comfort and convenience, even in gridlock, the car is faster and better for them.
Not if it's gridlocked. And it's the uncertainty around that. The most frustrating thing is kind of, one day you might drive and it's half an hour, the next day it's an hour and a half. And how do you plan for anything in that?
Or what if the bus and train is an hour and a half rather than half an hour in the car?
We have to make sure that the bus is quicker. And I think the first key measure, this won't work by just pricing people off the roads. That would be not socially just, it wouldn't be effective, wouldn't be economic. But we do need to allocate space, and this has to come from the bottom up. This has to come from local authorities, not just national government, and to make sure that the buses work fast, that it is safe to cycle and walk. And we are doing that. Like, this is starting to be delivered. We are starting to see the Bus Connect projects in Dublin coming through planning. We're going to build them now. We will triple the DART service in Dublin as well as building the metro. It can't be just Dublin. We are building a metropolitan rail system in Cork that will transform particularly the north side of Cork City. We're doing the same in Limerick, and we need to the same in Galway. Well, Waterford's already started. We are building this new sustainability bridge across the Shore, and it's going to be spectacular the way Waterford develops in the centre and brings life back into the centre. And in doing that, that's how you reduce the amount of driving you have to do. The census shows over the previous decades, the amount we had to drive to work went longer and longer and longer and longer. And that doesn't actually work. And the more people do it, the more we get stuck in traffic, the more it doesn't work. So making this switch where you really plan better and where you do advantage public transport so that it's quicker and that then people switch who can switch do, those who have to drive then are on a road that isn't gridlocked, and that's why it benefits everyone.
Under a previous government, I think Richard Bruton was the relevant minister, there was a commitment made to having 1 million electric vehicles on our roads by 2030. Is the current government still committed to that target?
Yeah, I think we'll meet that target. We're actually ahead of target. It's slightly
but sorry, slow. Why would anyone buy an electric car if they then find that it's going to be so difficult to find space in our urban roads to drive it on?
As I said, we're not looking at saying anti-car here, we're just saying that if it's just cars, it won't work for anyone. And if we just replace all the petrol and diesel cars with electric cars, we would still have the same gridlock problem. We might address the climate issue, but we would have a dysfunctional system, transport system. It wouldn't work. So yes, I think electric cars are going to be a key part of this solution. They have huge benefits in air quality as well as in climate change. And they're better cars. They are cheaper to run now.
But much more expensive to buy.
No, coming down in price, Matt. They're really dramatically falling in price.
Well, to the detriment of anyone who's an early adapter, because they're finding the second-hand value of their car has fallen dramatically.
Yeah, but I think if you talk to the very large number of people who have already bought them, they actually like driving them. They're good cars. They actually are more enjoyable to drive.
Do you have one?
Yes.
And how much would you use it?
I charge it about once a week. So that's about 300 kilometres a week. And like everyone else, like I'm like, it's not anti-car. I love nothing better driving my girl to a football match and chatting as we go. Like, that's fantastic. But do I want to be stuck on the M50 where it's absolutely jammed and where I miss the match? No. Or do I need to, you know, you use it when it's appropriate. And I also cycle, I also walk, I also take the bus, I also take the Lewis. I'm lucky that we have good public transport services, but I want everyone to have a proper public transport
service. Where you live, because not everyone where they live has good public transport services.
So my job is to build the public transport out and to make it work by making sure it has the road space to be really fast. And that, I think, rather than pricing people off the road, is going to be the key first step.
Yeah, the proposals that you brought to government today, they're proposals. They're not government commitments yet, are they?
We go to public consultation, we listen. And we've already engaged about 100 stakeholders from about 57 different organisations, people from local government, from community groups, from NGOs, from academia. So we've already been very, very involving about this. You don't force it on people. It is about change that works for people because it's better, not just wagging your finger at someone. So yes, now we listen to the public. I come back to government in the autumn. And then we deliver. And we deliver at the same time that we're also delivering the greenways and the public transport. And also local authorities starting to deliver. If you take Dublin, for example, Dublin City Council, the council decided that 60% of the true traffic in the city centre is just making the system not work for buses, for pedestrians, for cyclists. So that will change this summer. Dunleary Council, in fairness to my mind, have just voted to put through again a very ambitious plan to take a lot of the traffic out of the centre of Dunleary to make it a more attractive place to live in, to visit, to shop in, to go out the night in, and at the same time improve the public transport service. So it's starting to happen. Limerick, you know, Limerick County Councillor starting to do some really good things in terms of reallocating road space so that Limerick city centre starts to be a much more attractive place to live in, to work in, to go to school in. So the councils are starting to do this. It has to come from the bottom up. This will be, in my mind, an issue for the local elections, because I think councils around the country do have to ask the question, well, which way do you want to go?
Well, that's an interesting point that you brought up, the local elections. You got there ahead of me, because there's a large commentary that would suggest that this could be electoral suicide, not just for the Greens, but for the governments to be seen to try and hoist traffic changes upon the public that the public doesn't want or isn't prepared for in the absence of suitable public transport to replace the private car.
Well, I don't think you can hoist it. I think it is. Like, it's up to the public to decide. They have to choose who they vote into local councils. And councils will be the ones who will have to decide a lot of these issues in terms of how you allocate road space, how you design, how you kind of develop towns and cities. And I think actually the public are ahead of the political system on this. My sense around the country, I've just spent the last year going around to every single council, really listening intently, you know, how do they see the future of transport in a low climate, or in a climate changing world? And actually, I think you'd be surprised how popular it is. Like, the connecting island bus services, the public are flocking to it. It's not a punitive measure. It's something they really want. If anything, now I'm going to be under pressure to deliver more and more. Similarly with the greenways and cycleways, the public actually are buying into this in a way that I think the political system will catch up with.
Yeah, but we have the Minister for Public Expenditure with us after 5 o'clock, Pascal Donoghue. You've looked for something like 14 billion extra between now and 2030 to actually put in place all of the plans that you have, either you or maybe a successor as Minister for Transport. He hasn't made the money available to you. How far behind are you going to fall because of a lack of state investment?
No, I think we'll have the money. It's actually, we was busy. We had a cabinet meeting today, and it was probably one of the most busy and most significant cabinet meetings we've had in a long time. There were a variety of different issues. Our own demand management study, the management of the issue of managing migration and the protection system. But also significantly, we signed off on the review of the NDP, or the reallocation of funding within the National Development Plan for the next 3 years. This year, 24 and 25. And in that, Pascal was able to get agreement with all his colleagues to allocate the additional 2.25 billion we have. And that, in the transport side, gives me the money I'll need to start and to advance all the key public transport projects.
Okay, one final thing. You will have all things going as expected in the Dáil, a new Taoiseach in a matter of weeks. How different do you expect the remaining year of this government to be under Simon Harris's direction compared to Leo Varadkar's and Micheál Martin's?
I suppose it will be different because personalities always change. You know, you kind of react or you work with people in different ways. But I fundamentally don't see a change in course. I think this government is working well. The three parties in government, in cabinet, as well as among the three leaders, have, I think, managed to, where there are differences and there are, kind of manage them, but also to focus on the three key ambitions, addressing the housing crisis, reforming health system, and managing our showing leadership on climate change. The SRI shows a study today that our economy, 4 years into this government, has never been in better shape. And that is because of responsible collective management. And I think that won't change. It also has to be progressive. In fairness to Pascal and Michael McGrath, the last four budgets have all been demonstrably progressive. They've protected those on lowest incomes most. The last one has to do that too. I think those basic principles, we stick to those, we will be able to work through the lifetime of this government and then go to the people and let the people decide who governs next.
Eamon Ryan, Green Party leader, Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.